Facing challenges and overcoming setbacks is part of doing business. Whether you have the expertise to survive them or not could mean the difference between success or failure. Welcome to We Are Women, featuring revealing conversations that provide invaluable insights into the success secrets of female masterminds. A must listen for every entrepreneurial woman. Now here's your host, Janine Vosper.
Hi, it's Janine Vosper here, back with the We Are Women podcast. And today with me, I have Bettina Dieter. And Bettina was born and raised in Germany, where she worked for 16 years in public relations. In 2008, she moved to Australia with her husband and two boys, and that started a whole new chapter in her life. So the following 10 years, she followed her creative calling and studied colour and design and self-published a book called Downsize and Style. Bettina is a trained speaker and launched a podcast and online course to promote her book. She joined a community of dancers and writers and practice yoga and meditation. I'm going to love to be able to talk about that, because I think that's that whole creative flow that comes out for Tina. In 2015, she started writing about her life and completed a memoir called Dare to Dance. So at the same time, she started her content writing business, helping entrepreneurs capture their stories and ideas and passions and share their product and service with authenticity and integrity. She reinvented herself, and which led her on her own path of exploration and self-discovery. She's done a whole lot of other things as well, but we'll talk about those in the interview. Welcome, Bettina. It's great to have you on here.
Thank you so much, Janine. Welcome. Thank you for having me.
I know that your first book, Downsize and Style, was that all about color and design, or was there message about being a creative as well in that?
No, that basically, that just happened, you know, was the output of a course of that Cert 4 and color design diploma course I did at the time. And I don't know, I just started that because I just loved it. And I was always very much drawn to creative stuff. But in Germany, I never worked in that field. I was in public relations, in IT, like nothing to do with creative, you know, any creative people or like a creative discipline apart from writing, but it was not creative writing, it was copywriting and press releases and stuff like that. And then I did this course, and that was also how I came about it. I just did art classes in 2009 because I wanted to do some creative things. And so I started doing art classes, ended up at this design school, studied there for 1.5 years. It was a part-time thing. And then I was like, so what now? And then I kind of, this course, a lot of people or in that course started their own business. Then I didn't have the intention to do that, actually. I didn't even think about it. I thought, okay, what am I doing? Mm-hmm. And then focus on a market niche, that people who downsize from houses to apartments, because that's a big thing in Australia now, or was at the time as well. And then I thought, okay, I write this book about how to do it. Like it's very practical, 5 steps, you know, declutter, you know, measure your space and put, you know, find the right furniture and how you style it. And that was the whole idea. It has nothing. It's just a practical style guide.
And that was that's the thing though, Bettina, is a lot of people have that practical knowledge and maybe think about getting it out there in a book but never do it. So to do it is a very big deal, and I'm hoping that, you know, anyone's listening that's thinking, I've got all these steps, I know how to help people do something, maybe it's as simple as downsizing, but it's so important to the right person who picks up that book, and it can make a difference in somebody's lives. But until you get it written down, then you're never going to know.
I know. And the thing is, and this is an interesting thing. I self-published this book. So that's important, because I learned a lot in that project. And I didn't even think about what would happen with that late like years later. And now, because I'm obviously the book is now it's old in publishing land, it's 2014, you know, but now I'm sort of coming back to all the skills I learned. I started with a writing coach, but very quickly I figured out now I know where I'm going, and I couldn't work with this woman longer. It just didn't work. So I said, look, it's fine. You said, you know, I'm on the right path. And then I kind of did the whole project management myself and sourced all these people, and I learned so much. And now I can obviously use it in my own business. But I only realized that earlier this year when a client asked me, hey, can you help me with my book? And I was like, yes. Actually, yes, I can. And then, you know, I realized, oh my God, how much knowledge I have in that industry. And this client was so grateful. He was like, oh my God, thank you so much, you know. And
we all have these hidden skills. And until somebody asks you how can they do something, and you go, you know what? I don't have to refer that on to somebody else. I know how to do that. And this is what we don't realize. And particularly as we get more mature and we've had a lot more experience in different components of life, is we don't realize that the things that are easy for us to do aren't easy for other people to do. And it creates a whole business when somebody can come to you and say, can you do that? And you, like you did, and go, yeah, I can. Yeah.
And I actually also discovered, for me, it was also a learning curve working with that client for over 6 months, literally. We just finished, the book is now published, and it has amazing success. It's going viral on LinkedIn and everyone loves it.
Well done.
In his industry, it's in the US, but the industry is global, obviously. So then realized, oh my God, this is amazing. I want to do more of these projects. This is really cool, because in the past few years, I did content writing. You know what everyone else has, websites, blogs, articles. People need, like businesses need content all the time, you know. But now I've found a really passion project. I thought, oh my God, this is amazing. I want to do, you know, if possible, do more of that and help people actually get their book out there.
Yeah, well done. And there is such a need. And, you know, sometimes it's not about selling thousands of copies. Sometimes it's just about getting that information down and out. I know when I wrote my first book, Good Girls Do Sell, in 2015, and I was on a bit of a, I was given a challenge to write it in 30 days, but we were traveling overseas at the time of that 30-day challenge. So instead I wrote it in, I wrote it in 7 days or something instead. But it was, it gave me the impetus to go, right, sit down, write it out, and get the stuff out of your head and put it down on words. My second book, being Unstoppable, took a year to write because there was no deadline on it, but until I gave myself a deadline and then finished it. But it's that getting that, okay, I know this stuff. This is things that I want to be able to gift people with. And I can't necessarily train everybody or reach everybody, but with a book maybe I can reach a lot more people and help.
And you know, just one more point, it's very different if you do a business book or if you do a creative writing project, because just to compare my memoir, which is also was in the making I think for 6 years. Right. This is a totally different thing, because life happens and your story changes. And this is not a thing I sit down and write my memoir in 30 days and it's done. This is the whole, that's why I'm saying it's very different. And you learn a lot there as well. And all I've learned in this creative writing journey, when I started in 2015 and I had nothing, I just had this feeling I wanted to write about my life. And I knew through another little book I had found on the internet with questions about my life that I had a lot of gaps in my family history. I didn't know things about my parents, how they grew up and whatnot, you know, after the war. And then I was like so curious. I wanted to do that. And that's what I'm saying. So this whole process started in 2015 with zero words. And then but what I did, and that was a totally different approach than this other book, where I had stuff in my head and I just started writing it down. I needed to do research and how do I approach an 80,000 word memoir, you know, like with nothing. And then that's where I then started with a writing course and had professional help as well. And then over the time, my writing group and And that's also interesting because I've been in this memoir writing group and we've been critiquing our work over the years. So we were about 5 or 6 core people, all memoir writers. And so you learn this whole editing process. We learned it at the course, but that's basically the same what I'm now doing with my client in a business book. How I, you know, when you give someone feedback to the work, you don't say, oh, well, that's not great or something. You learn these tools and how you phrase it in the courses so that you actually, you know, say it in a positive way and say, consider this. And as a reader, I don't understand that and whatnot. So it's, and I realized through this, like this work in my memoir group, was so helpful in this business project now. Despite it was a totally different topic industry, but like the way to approach that. And that was, that was really great. So it all comes together at some point, you know, you connect all these dots.
That's such a good point too. It's things just come together sometimes and being with the right people and making, you know, enabling things to flow. But also, I'm very big into getting with masterminds and working with people that, you know, support you and give you that feedback. It's such an important thing to do, is to work with people that really interesting. I picked up an interesting fact the other day. What's his name? Lewis Carroll and Tolkien and a few other major writers, actually going out on my blog tomorrow, they used to get together every Tuesday and Thursday. Tuesday once was in a pub in Oxford, and they did that for years and years and years. They were called the Inkling, and they got together, and all of these, the playwrights and all of these, became amazing authors with great stories. Most of it was a fantasy type of thing that they all, like yours is a memoir group, there was this, you know,
but that is
fantasy writing, and it was so interesting reading about this. But it was so important because it's a joining of the minds, and as you said, being able to give feedback. I do that with when I'm teaching people how to speak well, is to be able to give feedback in a way that's constructive but that they can learn from, which is so important. But to be in that group, I'm sure that not just to get the feedback, but it's be inspiring to be in this space.
And that's also a good point, what you just said. I mean, one is surround yourself with like-minded people. That's in every endeavor you kind of embark on. It's always good to have people who understand what you're doing and kind of support you. And the other thing, what you just mentioned, this is so important, having these routines in place. You know, when you said these writers met in the pub every Tuesday. Mm-hmm. So obviously, like our writing group, we meet once a month. But when you write a book like this, long form writing, and it doesn't matter if it's a business book with 40,000 words or if it's a memoir with 80 or whatever. And that is one of the first things I learned in this writing class. The author who ran it, she said, okay, if you have nothing and you want to have 60, 70, 80,000 words in some, you know, point of time, let's say in a year or whatever, you have to go and sit down every day. You have to get into this habit of writing every day. Carve out half an hour, whatever you can, or set a goal, like one goal. It's either a time goal or word count goal, and start. And even if you sit half an hour in front of your blank screen, it doesn't matter. You just sit down, and then if you don't write, you start again and the next day. So you have to get your body into the habit. And that was, I thought, oh my God, this is amazing. So I literally did that. And it took a bit of time to get into it. But with that method, I had in 10 months, 75,000 words on the page. They were not my final draft and lot, you know, whatever it was. It was just the first get it out thing. But I managed to get chapters out there, and my writing group critiqued it, and then we did another course the first one was January and the other one was August, and by October I had 75,000 words, and I couldn't believe it. You know, that was my first draft, which is nothing what it's now, but it's this habit. And we know from science there's research on that establishing routines is the most powerful thing you can do for whatever you want to achieve. Yes. If it's a writing, if it's whatever in your house, something, it doesn't matter. Renovating or starting a business, it doesn't matter what it is. You have to sort of do the action, like little baby steps every day, that brings you somehow closer to this goal.
Totally agree. Habits, and I've been writing, it's interesting you bring that up, because the blogs I've been writing the last few weeks have been about how about habits. I just finished reading James Clear's book, Atomic Habits, and he talks about a two-minute habit. So the two-minute habit, in the case of writing, is setting it up, getting in front of the computer, getting ready, and maybe it's just writing the chapter name or writing chapter one, whatever takes 2 minutes. I mean, you may stay there and write more, but it's every day, and it's not that it takes 30 days to build a habit. It's the consistency of doing something every day and putting that as a plan.
Yeah.
And definitely with writing, well done doing that, and because that's what holds people back a lot, is not having a habit, and so nothing comes out then.
And the other thing from that book, I read that too, is what I love, the habit stacking, because that's what I did. I thought, okay, where do I find, because at the time my sons were smaller, you know, they were younger. I had to, at six, usually I was in the kitchen making the lunch boxes for the whatever for school, the normal morning routine for moms, you know?
Yeah.
And so I thought, oh my God, when do I find time to write? So I thought, okay, I have to get up an hour earlier, you know. And I'm kind of thought, okay, before I do this every day at six, and now I just plug something before that, and I got up at five and would go to my office and sit down there, whatever happened in that hour, until six, and then go in the kitchen, you know. It's so this habit stacking, and then the brain learns, okay, now this is belongs to that, and we have to, I have to do it. And then you get into it. You don't think about it anymore. You know, it's, I do the same now with the morning routine, which is not, doesn't include writing as such, but more journaling and meditation and reading personal development books and stuff like that. But this is, I love it. And every time I want to add something, or I think I want to do this, I add it in my morning routine, because I'm sitting there every morning, you know, at the same place, same spot, and do the same thing. So then it's very easy to add something, or sometimes you leave something out for a while and then you add it back in. Or so it's
I loved everything about reading that book. It just made so much sense. And the thing is that once you've got that stacked, it doesn't matter what you're doing, you're just going to do something in that hour. But I love that he says, someone said, well, how long do you have to do it for to create a habit? He said, well, once it's a habit, it's forever. It's just what you do, you know. It's the habit of exercise, if you exercise regularly, or exactly, whatever the habit is, or drink green tea each morning, or
And for example, I had a few months ago, or earlier this year actually, I had really bad lower back pain. And my physio, it took weeks to get it under control. And with all my dancing, you know, it was a bit, chuckling here and there. But in the end, he said, look, if you do every morning 10 minutes of these exercises I gave you, you will be fine. And now I thought, okay, great. Morning routine, I need to do 10-minute exercise. And I'm still doing it every morning. And my back is good. You know? And it's like, it's not long, but it's just adding these little blocks of things.
Absolutely. Now, with talking about your memoirs, you wrote part of it. And there's what was the title of the memoirs again? Tell me a story. Story about it.
Yeah, the memoir is Dare to Dance. The title of the memoir is Dare to Dance. And what I did was, this whole, as I said, it's 6 years in the making. So it's a very roller coaster journey, writing a long form project. And especially if it's your own life, it's very personal, lots of emotions. You have to go at places where you probably don't want to go and all of that. So it's a very long journey. And I had times where I didn't write, and I had times where I wrote. And then the memoir, you know, it was sometimes like a year, 2019, for example, I didn't write a word because I was dancing the whole year. I started ballroom dancing. I had no time, no headspace. And I was stuck a bit. I thought, what am I doing with this thing? You know, I had pitched it to publishers that didn't want it. And obviously publishing world, to everyone who is involved in pitching to commercial publishers, knows they don't say why they don't want it. They just say, no, it doesn't fit our list, full stop. That's all you get. So I was like, what am I doing? And then I parked it. I said, I put it in the drawer. I just have no headspace and so on. But I knew in my heart at some day it would come out again. You know, I would just have to be patient. And then it happened literally in 2020. I had this in January, you know, the COVID year last year, mm-hmm. before it all started. I was at the cinema and watched this movie, Little Women. Yes. Random one day. I had no idea what that was about. And I just thought,
oh, okay.
Now I need to go to the cinema and watch that.
That's my favorite, one of my favorite books when I was a child.
I know. I was like, maybe in Germany it's not as good, whatever. Anyway, I was in the cinema, and at the end of this movie, the protagonist holds her book in her hands, the print. And I was like, this was literally, it struck me. I was in the cinema. I said, yes. This year, it's coming out again. I went home. I called my writing group. I said, guys, I want you to keep me accountable. I need to get back because I also left the writing group that year. Right. I have to come back. I need to get into the habit coming back to our meetings. I want to get that out. There's something happening now. And I started writing about my dancing. Like 4 weeks later, last year, I got an email from a publisher in New Zealand saying they like asked them, call for entries for a writing competition. Mm-hmm. And the topic was a moment that changed my life, 2000 words. And I thought, bang, chapter one of my memoir, that's it, a moment that changed my life. And I rewrote chapter one and shortened it into 2000 words, sent it in, forgot about it. Another month later, I get another email. So we were already in lockdown at the time then. Mm-hmm. And there was another from a publisher, and who said they are offering a 3-month mentorship program for writers who have a complete manuscript to kind of edit and go through. And that was a paid thing, you know. I said, that's it. You know, I saw my email. Yeah, okay, I'm doing that. And then I went through, my whole manuscript was reviewed by a commercial publisher. They gave me feedback. I ditched so many chapters. Oh my God, he said, this, no one is interested in that. You know, like, just take it out. And write. And then they said, write more about your dancing, because dancing is a world, it's a, like a global thing. It's a topic that may be more interesting for a publisher where they see a potential to sell the book, because a memoir of a person like me who's not a public person, who's not famous or whatever, just a normal person, it's very unlikely that a publisher, you know, it's very, they need looking for something like that. It's, and there's so many factors, and you need author platform with millions of people follow you already and all that.
Yeah,
it's very tricky to find, get into that. So I then said, okay, I wrote more dancing, rewrote the whole shebang. My writing group commented on my new chapters. And then that was then last year. And so this year I had one of my goals this year. I said, okay, I'm going to pitch this memoir to 10 publishers by the end of June. Now, then I started once I had finished, I thought, okay, that's the last chapter, I stop here. And then I started doing that in March, April, May or so. I looked at publishers, if they're open for submissions, and you know, you have to find them. I can't just pitch randomly to anyone. You need to look if in their list, are they publishing memoirs? Are they open for submissions? Are they open for unsolicited manuscripts and all of that? Anyway, I found 8 publishers, pitched it, like my goal, end of June, done. Then I got quite quickly 2 rejections. And from the others, I haven't heard still. It's now November, and that was in March, April, or May or whatever. So then, but what happened also in the meantime?
Just on that, though, that must feel, you know, this is your baby. It's...
Oh, yeah, it is. It is like, no, the
frustration
is,
and disappointment.
Oh, yeah, but you can't. I mean, the only thing you can do is like you can rework it and keep going. And we all know the story of J.K. Rowling, who was living on pension or whatever, welfare before her books, and got 5 million rejections for Harry Potter.
Yeah.
And now, you know, we all know what happened then.
Yeah.
So it's so basically then I... what also happened, hang on, I'm getting this. So last year with that writing competition, the year went by, and then at the end of the year, they kind of said, yeah, we had so many entries, la, la, la. And I actually missed all of that. They kind of nominated 3 winners But I didn't get that. Somehow I missed that whole thing. And in February this year, I get an email from them saying, yeah, thank you. You know, you submitted your thing last year to the writing competition and we had so many entries. And actually, you know, we decided we want to do an anthology and called The Turning Point. And we chose 40 stories to publish in that book. And yours is one of them. And I was like,
oh, congratulations. Well done. Yeah.
I was like, what? And that was February. And then he said, yeah, well, then the whole, you know, process started. And the book actually came out. I have it here. I don't know if you can see it here. It came out in just in October, so last month. And it's a very nice, very interesting stories. And they're grouped into different themes and topics. And it's and very nicely done, like quality paper and stuff. Anyway, so that was this. That happened came out on the 6th of October. And it's international. It's Australia, New Zealand, US, Canada, and the UK.
And that's called The Turning Point.
The Turning Point, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it, the publisher is Exile Publishing in New Zealand. Mm-hmm. You see that, yeah.
Yes.
And but then, so I was like over the moon. Oh my God, I have this, my stories in this book. But then, like literally 2 weeks later, and that was just recently, I got an email one morning from another publisher saying they wanted to publish my memoir.
Wow!
Like
how exciting!
And this was like I read that email like 10 times if I read it right, you know, like is that really not a spam or whatever, you know?
And then I
thought this is it. And this story is unbelievable because it was none of the publishers I pitched to. It was actually a dancer friend who read a Facebook post in August about this Turning Point book. I said, my story was chosen. Oh, my God, it's coming out in October, blah, blah. And this dancer friend said, hey, do you need another? Because I said it's the story is the first chapter of my memoir, which is not published yet, you know. And then he said, do you need a contact to another publisher? And I said, oh, yeah, of course. Why not? You know, whatever. It doesn't matter. I'm like. And then he connected me with another dancer. It's like
you never know where things come from. And I think that's a point. We just might shorten the story down a bit. I know you're excited about it, Bettina, because that's the thing, isn't it? You never know where things come from.
Yeah.
But the point that out of everything that you've done and talking about is putting yourself out there and stepping out of your comfort zone and following through with things, you know, having that belief in yourself that you can do it.
And that is an interesting point because I'm reading a lot of Stoic philosophers and I like about them. I love them. And I read a book from a guy in the US called The Ego is the Enemy. I just finished it this morning. And he talks about this it's more about doing the activity and detaching from the outcome because once, even if it's our book or our business or something, once we have a project and it leaves our hands, it's not upon us anymore. We can't control what other people do with it. So, you know, like it's about they will critique it, they will judge it, some will like it, some will hate it, but we have to let go of that. That is not our, if we get rewards and acknowledgement, that's great extras for us, but rejections, it's not our problems, it's theirs. You know, like they say, don't worry, just keep doing your thing and be content with that you did it actually, and then the universe will bring whatever happens then, you know. It's very interesting.
And I think that's a good, you know, really good point for us to finish on now.
Is
just to trust, really, isn't it? It's a big word. It's to trust that you can do it and trust what's meant to be will be. Exactly. But you have to put the work in, sticking to those habits, you know, taking the time to do the writing in this instance, but anything that you're doing in your life, in your business, that you want to see, you know, a positive result from is to do that.
Private life, you know, when you want to start a new hobby or like when I started the dancing, I was like, oh my God, when I first opened this dance school for the first time, I was 52 and I thought, what am I doing here? This is like, you know, going there the first time and say, okay, I want to have dance lessons. it was like, it took me a lot of like, okay, I'll do it. And I thought, I just go home and never come back, you know, but you have to, and then I found my greatest passion. I love it so much. You know, it's this pushing through some of the uncomfortable stuff, you know.
Yeah, it is. And the amount of times, you know, I tend to turn up to a lot of places by myself, just, you know, if I buy a ticket or get a ticket or get invited or find something, I'll just go. But the amount of people I know that, oh, well, unless I've got someone to go with, that they won't do it. And it's all about that. And I, for those that have listened to me for the last 6 years of the podcast, will know that I don't call it a comfort zone. I call it a confinement of anxiety. And it does. It holds people back. But your story today has been a great example of just getting in there, getting it done, trusting the universe and just going with your passion, your absolute passion. And I love that dare to dance.
My vision, just for maybe finish that, my vision with this book really is not so much about my story. It's about to inspire women to celebrate midlife. And, you know, not to buy into all this crap that we society tells us, you know, when you're 50 and life is over or whatever, you know, all this weird stuff. So I really, because it's all about going out there and, you know, following your heart, literally, and really stepping out of your comfort zone if you want to start a new hobby or something else, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. And that important factor is I work with a lot of people in that age group, and beautifully a lot of women in particular starting businesses in that age group, things that they've been put off for their entire lives, and then now they've got the opportunity to do it and to see people blossom and be enthusiastic and passionate. It's absolutely wonderful. But you're doing, helping people with their books and that now, Bettina, is that something?
Yeah, so where you just start starting business, that is exactly what I also did. I have my content writing business, but in that phase, like literally I went through a divorce as well in 4 years ago. So and that's why where I started also an online business where I actually, you know, in health and wellness, and it's product based, but this is all about a huge community of amazing people. And there's men there, but mainly women, and who want to give back, who know they have so much to teach to other people. And they, you know, they have all a story, a life story, and maybe some have a book as well, whatever, but there is so much they want to give back, teach others, you know, and share and be part of an amazing community. And I've been doing that for 4 years. I really love it, and it's for me, it's not even so much about the money or something. It's more being in that community and having the support and also helping people with healthier lifestyle, you know, like it's just living healthier and doing that. And that was what I also did with my, like, going through all this menopausal phase, you know, in midlife. The healthier you are, the more exercise, the better you eat, the better you look after yourself, the better you celebrate life and are happy, the easier this whole transition is, and you don't suffer through it, you know.
It's
a choice we make. We have, you know, but you have to maybe sometimes do some uncomfortable stuff as well, you know.
Absolutely. So how can people get in touch with you, Bettina, even just to have a chat and see how you can inspire them?
Oh, look, it's obviously my website, bettinadeda.com. I am on LinkedIn. I am on Instagram and Facebook. So, yeah, if they type my name, they will probably find.
And Deda is D-E-D-A.
D-E-D-A,
All of the links will be on the podcast notes and everything.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for joining me and inspiring us with your inspiration of your book and your life, and that just that opportunity of what it is, that dare to dance or dare to do something that fills you with the joy that you want to be able to do and participate. Yeah. But thank you, Bettina.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure to share my wisdom with everyone, and we hope we catch up soon at some other online platform.
Yeah, It tends to be that way. And that's another episode of the We Are Women podcast. I am Janine Bosby, your host. Remember, if you've got any questions that you're a little bit unsure how life, business, things are going, then please book in for a strategy call. We can have a conversation by Zoom. It doesn't matter where you're based. So, and just go to JanineBosby.com. I look forward to you joining me on the next episode of the We Are Women podcast.
So, do you feel stuck in a rut in business? Visit speechperfect.com.au and download Janine's free ebook to avoid the 5 most common stumbling blocks women face in business. It's jam-packed full of tips to overcome the barriers that could be holding you back from the success that you dream your business will be. We would love you to leave a review of today's episode and share this podcast with other women in need of entrepreneurial inspiration. Subscribe to the next episode now and join the We Are Women community.